when I was growing up, I feel like I needed something like that, to just be told, like, don't think about the past, don't think about the future. When the fighting stops, go to a safe place in your house, in your apartment, wherever you live, and just breathe. Try to do your best to breathe and count one, two, three, four, and then let it all out. So that way it anchors you to the present moment.
You are now listening to the podcast where authors inspire listeners to become authors, the Going North Podcast. I'm your host, certified self-leadership trainer, best-selling author, and book enthusiast, Dom Brightman. And you're going to be listening to a different author that will inspire you to join the business of immortality, known as authorship. Now let the fun begin. Today's episode is sponsored by both books, Going North, Tips and Techniques to Advance Yourself, and the follow-up bestseller, Stay the Course, The Elite Performer's 7 Secret Keys to Sustainable Success. Head over to Amazon.com, pick up both books. They are available in a trifecta of paperback, audio, and ebook. Cop all three of both and be on the lookout for another book from yours truly to help podcasters succeed. Now let's get on with today's episode. And today on the Highlight Reel Builder for Authors, known as the Going North Podcast, we got another super special, awesome human for you today, courtesy of the wonderful site known as PodcastGuest.com, a wonderful site where aspiring podcast guests get to create a one-page media sheet for potential podcast hosts invited to be on the show, and for podcast hosts to have their email blasted out to over thousands upon thousands of emails. Let's see, indeed, I think at least over 5,000. And hey, we got over 300 pitches out of nowhere, and we got another diamond in the rough. We made it through all of them, indeed, because today's wonderful guest, y'all, she is not only a wonderful author, she's also a TEDx speaker, a real estate agent, consultant, and the founder. You're that right, folks. She has Indiana Jones swag. She found something. The founder and CEO of her fabulous company, Oh So Safe. So let's give it up for the sensational and observant Sabrina Oso. How you doing today, Sabrina?
I'm very well. Thank you so much, Dom. Thank you for that wonderful introduction.
Woohoo! My pleasure indeed. Usually one of the best things about the show before the rabbit holes appear.
Okay.
Yep, that's right indeed. Don't worry. If you do wake up with bunny ears in the morning, then you already know what happened. Just saying. Just saying. But hey, it ain't just about rabbit holes and whack-a-mole. It's about the stupendous Sabrina herself. So my goodness, as with all introductions, they're not allowed to be 83 years long, and it probably only covered, I don't know, 3 minutes of what makes Sabrina Sabrina. So am I filling in any cavities I may have missed about you on how you became the wonderful lady that you are today?
Oh, thank you so much, Dom. Thank you so much. My name is Sabrina Oso from Oso Safe. Feel safe where you live, learn, work, and play. I am a speaker, a real estate agent, and a dance teacher, I'm sorry, and we create and maintain respect in homes, in workplaces, and in schools, universities. But we focus on homes, and we can get into more detail about our products and services, but that's basically, in a nutshell, what we're all about.
That's right, one of those nutshells indeed. So cashews or almonds?
Both.
Oh, you politician.
I like cashews better than almonds, but I think the almonds are better for you. So, yeah.
What office you running for next year? I was just messing with you.
None at all. I promise.
Oh, so 2024, get all the old suckers out of the office. They all been bad. They've been poisoned. We need to get some safe people in office. That's right, indeed. Well, speaking of safe, well, let's just start Oh So Safe a day, because it's a crazy world that we're in, but I hear it's actually deeper than just some of the craziness going on Earth.
Yes, safety is very important. I would say being safe at home is the most, it's the most fundamental requirement as a human being on the face of the earth. Because if you're not safe at home, then you really can't do any other aspect of your life. It makes it very, very difficult to think about what it is that you want to do with your life if you're not safe at home. So being safe at home, practicing safety at home is at the core of our beingness, if you will. So I hope I answer the question.
Yeah, there you go. So what led you to start the company? Because I hear it was something deeper than just safety.
Yes. I've had enough therapy. I've been in and out of therapy for quite some time now to be comfortable enough to say that I am a survivor of violence. My father beat my mother on a regular basis. My mother would beat me. So I know firsthand how difficult it is to live in that type of environment, how traumatic it is, how chaotic and dysfunctional it is. So it's basically my company turning pain into power as best as we can. So I have a lot of experience to draw from. And I did what I was supposed to do. I have a degree in computer science. I did the corporate thing, but I was very dissatisfied. And I am a dancer. I started dancing pretty late by dance standards. But I caught up, if you will. I took teachers that really propelled me, and I was auditioning like crazy in the New York area. I live in New Jersey on the East Coast, so close to New York. So it was easy for me to get to auditions, and I was getting gigs, but I started writing my one-woman show called Home Sweet Home, question mark. And I played different women being abused. She goes to her good place. That's where the dancing comes in. But then she's pulled back into the terror of violence. The show ends really strong, really empowering. And I did a lot of research for the show, Dom. So I wanted the show to be educational as well as entertaining. And I could not believe the statistics that I was finding. I was shocked. And I said to myself, wow. I need to make this into a business, a bona fide business with products and services that could really help people. So, my business, Oh So Safe, was born out of this one-woman show.
Ah, a one-woman show indeed. That's what I'm talking about indeed. That's right, because I know you're a professional dancer too, which is really interesting mix because you also are a real estate agent and you got a computer science degree. So what led you to go into computer science? Were you actually kind of geeky growing up as a way to try to stay on the parents' good side?
No, there was no good side to my parents, really. No matter what you did, it was never good enough. It was always a war that broke out. So I knew that I needed money to leave. So at the time, I said, what will make me money or the most money the quickest to get myself out of here, out of my parents' house? So at the time, it was computer science. And I would say, even nowadays, if you like it, then definitely go for computer science, go for information technology. But it wasn't my passion, it wasn't the love, it wasn't in my DNA. So it was basically a have to versus a want to. Because I'm a dancer, and I couldn't even mention dance in my house. I could not even think about dance in my house. I had to put it on the back burner, way, way, way back burner. So it wasn't until I moved out at 21 years old that I could even pursue dance. So that's what I did. I funded my dancing with the money that I was making doing computers, if you will. But I was very unhappy doing computers. So I am a dancer. I taught, I wrote this one-woman show. I had students perform in my one-woman show. I taught dance for about 10 years, actually, and I still do it off and on. And it is a component in our workshops, because when you're talking about such a taboo subject like home violence, abuse, chaos, dysfunction, well, the dancing aids in making it more palatable, more, especially for students of all ages, like, oh, wow, she's playing me. Or, wow, I see that in my dad, or I see that in my mom. Wow, she really understands me through a performance, you know. So it makes it more educational and entertaining. So it gets the message across much easier. I hope I answer the question.
Here we go, getting into the magical Sabrina world, y'all. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. So, what was the transition like from going from computer science major and going in the tech field to professional dancing? Like, what was that transition like? Did you like jump out the metaphorical window, like, get me the hell up out of here? There's too many motherboards.
Let's see. My therapist actually said she recommended a book to me called "Do What You Love, The Money Will Follow" by Marcia Sinatar, and I read the book, and it kind of gave me the courage to go after what I really wanted to do, which was dance. So it gave me the courage, and it gave me the impetus and I had the drive, I had the passion, but I was scared. You know, I was scared. I was risking everything, you know, to do dance. And I was competing with people that were doing this from when they were toddlers, 2, 3, 4, 5 years old, you know. So it was definitely challenging. It was definitely difficult. It was scary. But it was a good scary. I said to myself, if I don't go after this, I will regret it for the rest of my life. And like I said, I am a dancer. It's like acting or singing or playing an instrument or with anything. You know, you could have your passion in medicine, in electronics, in book writing, or whatever the case may be. So yeah, it's definitely opposite worlds, but you can be creative in computers, programmers, you know, coding. You could definitely be creating. It's just creating with your mind and not your body, versus with dance, you're creating with your body and your mind. So it's just a different way to look at it, a different way to create, if you will.
That's what I'm talking about, indeed. Because you got a creative mind. That's right. A creative head and your shoulders, indeed. That's right, indeed. So it sounds like you did multiple one-woman shows. Probably had to, probably, you're probably like training for Rocky. You probably had the music playing in your head preparing for each show, I imagine.
Yes, actually, yes. As I was building the characters, because the one woman show has different styles in it, and I'm a pretty versatile dancer. I know Latin, I know ballet, I know point, I know tap, I know jazz or theater jazz, I know hip hop, I know swing. So I put a lot of different styles in my one woman show. There's a Latin piece in there, an African piece, a theater jazz piece, a flamenco piece, a swing piece, and then the finale is like a club piece. So yeah, I definitely incorporated different styles, and just so that it's more inclusive, more versatile, more appealing to different audiences, you know. And yeah, it's definitely a lot of creativity. I had my teacher. He was great. He really believed in me. His name was Phil Black. He passed away in June of 2015, and he taught many famous people, Jennifer Lopez, John Travolta, Madonna, There were a lot of Broadway people, and he said to me, he came to see me actually doing my one woman show, and he loved it, and it was such a stamp of approval for me to have him watch me and come to see me perform. And he said to me, you know, you doing your one woman show, it's like doing a Broadway show, you know, because you're the performer, you're the producer, you're the director, you're acting, you're dancing, you're the creator, you're the writer, you're everything, you're doing everything, you're wearing many, many hats. So he was so great. I was so honored, and I dedicated the show. There was one performance that I did that I dedicated it to him because he had Parkinson's disease, which is horrible. It's horrible for anyone, but to have that disease as a dancer, and he was a dance master. I mean, he had his own studio for many years in New York City, and then he taught at Broadway Dance Center, which is when I took him for years. And what a, how do I say? Because Parkinson's attacks your mobility, and he would be shaking so much, and he would be teaching practically bent over, and yet he was so strong. He was so, how do I say? He was just so determined. And you know, he took his medicine, he ate what he needed to eat to make the disease more manageable, if you will. But people that took him when he didn't have Parkinson's, and then they would see him with the Parkinson's disease, I mean, they would start crying because they said, wow, I can't believe my teacher Phil Black has Parkinson's. And but he didn't let it stop him. He took the bus. He would be on time to classes. He would teach tap and jazz, and he was a wonderful, wonderful man. And I am honored and privileged to have been a student of his and to have him as an audience member for my show, before he passed away.
So sorry for the loss of your teacher. That's definitely a rough loss too, and you're so right, especially him having to go through that devastating disease, especially being a person who loves movement. It's like, yeah, that's probably a big fear among like high energy, like folks who like to be physical and love to move. It's like losing that mobility. That's like a it's like you're getting pierced through the heart in a way. It's like heartbreaking.
Right. Yes, it is. It's you know, it's not like he got I don't know. I mean, any of those things would be bad, you know, cancer, Alzheimer's, but for a dancer, and he was, like I said, a dance master, to have Parkinson's, yeah, it's like oh my, like a cardiologist having heart disease, you know, having his heart, his or her heart compromised, if you will. So, but he was such a trooper, more than a trooper. I mean, he didn't let it beat him, and he kept dancing, he kept teaching, he kept choreographing, he kept doing his projects, he kept pushing me, students like me, and he was probably the only person that told me, Sabrina, don't worry about starting late dancing. You know, he told me, Sabrina, I started late. I said, what are you talking about? What do you mean you started late? He said, I didn't start dancing when I was a toddler, when I was 5, 6 years old. I started dancing. I went to the army. I was drafted. I served. And it wasn't until I got back that I started my studies seriously. And I said, really? I couldn't believe it. He goes, yes, really. So he studied hard, and he was dancing at the studio that he was at, like training, heavy duty training, and and he would work and clean, like I believe clean the studio and everything, and make money so that way he had money to pay for classes. Yeah, so when he said that to me, the one and only Phil Black, I mean, you would think that he started when he was like, a fetus, for crying out loud. So, but that wasn't the case. He it was straight up from the source. He said to me, I didn't start till my 20s too, So he said, don't let that, it's about your dedication. It's about how badly do you want it? How hard are you going to work? So it's a testament to don't let age get in the way of whatever it is that you want to do, including dance, Yeah, so it's inspiring.
Woohoo! Inspiring indeed, inspiring indeed. It's right indeed, because it's so true indeed. And it's a good thing he shared that with you indeed, because that's one of the major issues going on with folks in the world right now, is a good old comparison trap and gap, where it's like, oh God, they're so far ahead and they're so young. It's like, oh God, they got all this stuff, and it's like, stop looking at their highlight reel. And some of them started like way late by some standards. It's like one of those professional athletes where it's like, ah, this person has been in the league for so long. They are in their early 30s and they're still like they're in their prime, when in regular life, someone in their 30s is considered the prime. So it's kind of interesting and really encouraging for folks like him. It's like, hey, age is really just a number, y'all. It's right indeed. Just take care of yourself indeed, and focus on being the best you possible. So my goodness, so your creative pursuits didn't just stop with dancing. You decided to join the business of immortality, but with the children's book Home Safe Home for you and me. So what made you decide to go the route of writing a children's book for the kiddos?
Yes, this book has been in the making for quite some time, and I wanted to create something that will empower children of, I would say, ages teeny tiny. So I would say toddler, early toddler stage to eighth grade. And it's to give them voice and to give them choice about their residency, about where they live. And we're using this book as a staple to get properties OSO Safe certified in real estate. And I have to say, children are the most disenfranchised group of beings on the planet. And OSO Safe really focuses on kids because it's children that are suffering the most in abusive environments. And we think that child protective service agencies and the laws, the courts, the judges have their best interests. But I could tell you, Dom, from personal and professional experience, they do not. They make horrible matters even worse. So I wanted to create a book that really speaks to children, whether they're safe at home or not safe at home. For example, there's a page I go in detail in basic. The most simplest detail between the difference between respect and disrespect, abuse and non-abuse. And I say to introduce the idea to children, and I'm reading it right from my book, know that for the moment, which means right now, you are safe. And it's like when I was growing up, I feel like I needed something like that, to just be told, like, don't think about the past, don't think about the future. When the fighting stops, go to a safe place in your house, in your apartment, wherever you live, and just breathe. Try to do your best to breathe and count one, two, three, four, and then let it all out. So that way it anchors you to the present moment. Because when you're living in that type of environment, you got the world on your shoulders. So the book talks about safety, it talks about respect, and it introduces the Oh So Safe Kids cheer. And the cheer goes like this. I want to live where I am oh so safe, and I am oh so safe with. And they get to fill in the blank. So I say in the book, maybe you're not safe with mom and dad or stepmom and stepdad. Who do you feel safe with? It could be an aunt, an uncle, a grandparent, a close family friend. Think about it. Who do you feel safe with? So to introduce this idea that you have voice, you have choice, and that whenever you're ready, you could say, who do you feel safe with? And it's okay. We kind of meet them where they're at. So I say in the book, you know who makes you feel safe and free and respected and good. You kids know. Now, if you're too scared to say who that person is, that's okay. You don't have to say anything. You could even say that you feel safe with mom and dad, even if it's not true. That's okay. If you're too scared to say, that's okay. When you're ready, you'll say who makes you feel safe. So it's like empowering them. And when ready, they could say who it is, and I am encouraging them through the book, not go home. Do not go home. If you're not safe at home, don't go home. Say your cheer and tell the school, whether it be the principal, the teacher, the superintendent, the police, you take me where I'm safe, because I'm safe with auntie or dad, or an uncle, a grandparent, a close family friend. So that way they have choice and they have voice. And it's introducing the concept that you have power over where you live. So no matter your age, if you're a little teeny tiny toddler or you're an eighth grader and beyond, you should have a say where you live, and that there's not something wrong with you if mom and dad are fighting, and if dad hits mom or mom hits dad. So I explain this in the book. So that way they're empowered and they know that they have choice, and that this is a practice, Dom. You know, like, this is a practice. We have to practice respect. There should be no hitting, no punching, no pulling hair, no kicking. That's all abuse. And you deserve to be safe at home. All kids are oh so safe kids, whether they're safe at home or not safe at home. And that we're working as fast as we can to get all of you kids oh so safe at home. So that's the summation of the children's book.
Sweet, sweet indeed. Sounds like Sabrina loves the kids.
Yes, yes, we do.
Yeah, Sabrina loves the kids, y'all. That's right indeed. Making sure they have a choice with their voice. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. Because, yeah, definitely crazy world up there, especially with the kids, because it's like, especially during the pandemic and of course, some would say doom scrolling in a way and coming across certain things where it's like, oh, yeah. One interesting thing about the fact in the early stages where it's like, yeah, it's really going to be interesting and sad for some of the kids, because it's like the school is their only escape from the violence at home and things like that. So it's like, yeah, definitely going to need some options out there to help the kids to definitely be safe, especially since this is basically your story in the making, where you're trying to basically put on the cape for the little Sabrina who didn't probably get the help that she really needed at the time.
Yes, yes, I like how you put that. The cape. Yes, yes, kind of like a superhero. Yes, I like that. Wow, no one's ever said that to me. Yes, I'm trying to be the hero for the kids that I needed growing up, because no one came to my rescue. No one, no one, no one. And I'm trying to be that as best as we can. I'd also say for the children. I want to mention, I want to clarify, we're not a nonprofit, we're not a charity. We do respect all of the charities and nonprofits that do handle domestic violence. I mean, we don't really even like to call it domestic violence. We prefer to say home violence because it's more inclusive and everybody can relate to home. And you know, it's like an oxymoron. Wait a minute, home violence? That doesn't sound right. And we're saying, right, if it's a true home, there shouldn't be violence there. So yes, I am, we're looking to be the superhero for those children. And we believe that we cannot help kids and we cannot resolve this huge problem of disrespect in homes by being a charity. It's never going to get resolved. So we're offering OSO Safe certifications for all properties, whether you rent, whether you own, whether you have a mortgage or not, to get your property OSO Safe certified. It's a paid service. So, and it combines education and technology. Get everybody to sign the policy that we copy wrote. Get everybody educated that we have our seminars all copywritten. We get everybody educated on facts, statistics, warning signs, definitions of abuse, the difference between abuse and discipline, what constitutes a good relationship, what are the warning signs of a bad relationship. We have an app that detects violent-like movements, and we have therapists assigned to the property. So, Dom, this is all on the preventative side versus waiting for an episode of violence to occur. Because by then it's too late. So, with kids, this is especially helpful because that way we are the ally for children. Now, if they're safe at home, great. Then, for parents that practice safety that are also safe, well, what we're doing just enforces that even more. But if you're not safe at home, we're saying, okay, if you're going to be violent, you, the abuser only, gets immediately evicted from the premises. And we go into full knowledge knowing that that would be the consequences. And if the child has nobody to go to, well, then we learn on the first level of OSO Safe certification, is that child mentioning, did that child say, I'm safe with auntie, uncle, grandma, grandpa, a close family friend? Well, we get that child to that person. We don't wait until they're 18 years old. That's too late. They know who makes them feel safe. And if they have no one, then we will take them in. But that's in the works. That's being worked on as we speak. So there's no excuse for abuse, there's no excuse for violence. We need to practice safety. We need to practice respect. And we will see to it at OSO Safe that respect becomes a required standard condition of your home for all, but especially kids, because like I said, they suffer the most. So we're empowering them with the book. We are empowering everyone with the OSO Safe certifications. And we are working very hard and as fast as we can to make this a standard, if you will, in real estate all around.
Yeah, where the estate is real, y'all. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. That's right. From S on the chest to the O on the chest, y'all. That's right, indeed. The O so safe. It's coming to town, baby. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. So, any thoughts on writing a book for the grown-ups? Maybe a memoir titled, I don't know, Dancing with Danger?
I don't know. I don't know. Writing a book is hard work. I mean, it's hard. It's very difficult. I had a great publishing company that guided me because I never did anything like this before. It guided me. They guided me from A to Z. I highly recommend them. They're Yes Bear Publishing. And they focus on children's books as well as other types of books, I believe. But What did you say? Dancing with Danger? Okay. Yeah, that's an interesting title, actually. Yeah, I don't see another book on the horizon. The book that we have is out there, and I'm working very, very diligently to market it and get it out there, because this is a great tool for teachers as well as students and grandparents, certainly parents, step parents, and so a memoir, not right now, but you never know. You never know down the road.
Yes, right indeed. Because yes, story of your life is being told. That's right indeed. Might as well document the journey. You never know. Might have the itch to tell a story, and who knows? One day, maybe turn over the business to somebody else. Indeed, once you get more assistance, try to get more folks out there. Oh, so safe indeed. So, my goodness, so since you've been on a bunch of interviews promoting the good work you're doing to help out the fabulous folks on the planet Earth, is there a question that you wish folks would ask you more often?
Can you give examples of respect, and how do you practice respect? I would say that is the basic question that I think all of us need to answer. So that way our homes will be safe, our workplaces will be safe, and our schools and universities will be safe. So I would say that is the most important question to ask.
That's what I'm talking about indeed. Well, sounds like I need to put a wonderful recommendation episode to Dr. Joe Schrand indeed. He actually had a book called Understanding the Power of Respect indeed. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. Yes, indeed. My man's all about the magical respect. The R-E-S-P-E-C-T. That's right indeed. It ain't just Aretha Franklin's either. That's right indeed. R.I.P. to the
That's
Queen.
right. That's right. Absolutely. She spelt it out and everything. What
Yes,
was the name?
indeed.
What was the author's name of that book? Understanding the Power of Respect.
Oh yeah, Dr. Joe Schrand. We actually had him on a show, I believe. My goodness, it was actually last summer. Yeah, Dr. Joe Schrand. Sorry, indeed. He's actually a therapist, a wonderful book he penned last year. He had a wonderful approach. I believe it was called The I Am Approach, if I'm remembering correctly, indeed. So, highlighting some instances where he trusted his intuition more than his training at certain times, where at some times where it's like, oh, you know what, by the book, this is a bad idea. But my intuition says, yeah, let's pursue a little further so they don't try to take themselves out of this world. So, and it worked out in his favor. And yeah, definitely a good solid book. Definitely a good solid book. Recommend it to
I
folks.
have to check that out. Yes, I will look into that for sure.
Sorry, indeed. I'm not sure if he still has his podcast too, because he does have a wonderful podcast, the Dr. Joe Show. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. So,
Great,
my
great.
yes, ma'am. Indeed. So, my goodness, a fun question for you. So, if your fabulous book for the kiddos, Home Safe Home for You and Me, if that book were a food, what would it be and why?
If it were a food, okay. A slice of tiramisu. I love that cake. I'm Italian, so my favorite dessert, if you will, is a tiramisu. So I would say, yeah, that would be the association I would make for my book, because I love tiramisu, and it's a feel good book, you know. So, and after I eat tiramisu, I feel good. So it is the feel good component.
So I'm talking about indeed. So I'm talking about indeed. Funny enough, I forgot who said it the other time, but yeah, you'll think in a second. Guess so far to refer to their book as Tiramisu. That's right indeed. So good times. Good times indeed. That's right indeed. You get to hold the belly afterwards and be like, yeah, I feel freaking great. That's right indeed. Time to pass out and go to sleep. Watch the Z's just float out of my head. That's right. That's right.
Yes. Or
How
least, or at least get you, I mean, after you eat a tiramisu, you're more alert because it's got coffee and chocolate. So, and my book is kind of, it makes you more awake, more alert. So yeah, it matches, one complements the other.
So it sounds like a vitamin C we all need. Coffee and caffeine. Woohoo! I was just saying
Yes.
chocolate. Yes, indeed. All the C's. I see what you did there.
Yes, true.
Of curiosity, how many languages do you speak?
I speak three English. I'm very fluent in Italian, and I have working knowledge of Spanish.
Okay. All right. Great.
Yeah, but Italian, I'm fluent. Yeah.
There we go. Because I was curious. I'm like, yeah, that's right. This lady speaks like she knows more than one language, y'all. That's right. D. That's right. D. She got.
Oh, well, thank you.
Oh, yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. So my goodness, we're coming down to the magical question that every guest gets to receive, and that is, if you're to wake up tomorrow and you are 25 again, but you're still in the current year, what advice would you give to yourself?
I would make more mistakes sooner. Yeah. I have been asked, what advice, what business advice would you give to people? And I would say my best business advice, and it could apply to your question, is do it wrong until you get it right. So it kind of takes away the fear of, no, I have to wait until this is in place, and I have to wait until that's in place, and I have to wait until I get my degree, and I have to wait. Get rid of all of that. Do it wrong until you get it right. So that's what I would say to my 25-year-old self. And I think that could be applied to so many things. It could apply to everything, really, because in fact, just yesterday I took three dance classes at Broadway Dance Center in New York City. And one of them was hip hop. And this woman, this young girl, and she must have been about 25, 23, and she's a new dancer. So she wasn't getting the steps. And she was judging herself and getting upset with herself. So she left the class. And I was surprised at the teacher letting her leave. And I've said in this interview, I'm a dance teacher. I would never have let her leave. And I didn't get a chance to tell her, do it wrong until you get it right. So what if you make mistakes? Make your mistakes. But if you leave, that's it. You just cheated yourself out of doing it right. Because as you're doing it wrong, some good is going to come out of it. You're going to do something right out of all of those wrongs. So don't cheat yourself. And I felt so bad the rest of the class, and I had to focus, and I said to myself, oh, I hope I see that girl again, because that's what I would have told her. And She must have been about 23, 25 years old. So I'm saying to your listeners, and it's something that I say to myself over and over again, do it wrong until you get it right.
Woohoo! It's right indeed, y'all. It's right indeed. Do it wrong till you get it right, y'all. It's right indeed. If you burn the kitchen enough times, you'll get a brand new shiny one, y'all. Better than before. It's right indeed. It's right indeed. Just don't burn the whole house down. Maybe the kitchen. It's right indeed.
Yes,
It's right
right,
indeed.
please. Correct.
Right indeed. If
Yes,
you jack up.
you could burn. Go ahead, I'm sorry. No,
Oh, no. Go ahead, ladies first. Come on.
I've been talking. I've been talking. Go ahead, Dom. Go ahead.
I was joking around about to say, it's like, hey, if you jack up the rice, you can say, hey, it's rice, Bernie, not Roni. Yep, that's right indeed. Right
Yes,
indeed.
yes.
And some folks are like, Dom, you burned the corn. And it's like, yep, that joke definitely burned the corn.
Yes.
Right indeed. That's right indeed. Well, the good news is Sabrina's just getting started, y'all. It's right indeed. So the name of the game is to have every home built like a Brinks truck in a way, metaphorically speaking, and to be oh so safe. That way you can have a polar bear suit in peace. So for those who need to keep in contact with you and maybe dress up as a polar bear and hold themselves and hug themselves to sleep, what's the best way for folks to do so, Sabrina?
Yes, we have a website, ososafe.com. We are on all the major social media platforms, Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram. And also for especially for kids, whether they're safe at home or not safe at home, we have a YouTube channel and a TikTok. And they could just Google OsoSafe Kids or Sabrina Oso. And we speak to kids of all ages, and it's a safe platform to talk about safety, respect, relationships, warning signs, what makes a good relationship if you're of dating age. So those would be the best ways to reach us. And also the book is sold on Amazon and multiple other sites I'm seeing. So those would be the best ways to reach us.
Woohoo! Well, there you have it, folks. We're gonna put a link to all of Sabrina's wonderful wares in the show notes. That way you can cop some copies of her magical book, share with your friends, family, cat, penguin, dog. Heck, maybe even share it with the kangaroo, and then the kangaroo can jump on top of a humpback whale and get the books around the world to safety. That's right indeed, especially to the fishes. That way they can be oh so safe in the water. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. That's right. Metaphorically, in this case, that's right. Indeed, that's right. Indeed. We'll also put a link to our TEDx talk in wonderful show notes too, so that we can check that out like a library book, y'all. That's right. Indeed. Well, any parting words before the big bad wolf shows up, Sabrina?
You deserve to be in a good relationship. You have the right to be safe in your own home. If you're a parent, it doesn't give you the right to abuse your child. And respect needs to become a required standard in all homes. And that respect is a practice. We have to practice it every day.
If you're hearing this part of the episode, that means you're one cool individual. Thanks a bunch for tuning in, and if you enjoyed what you heard, be sure to share it with at least one other person in your network. Bonus points for three, and be sure to check out the backlog too while you're at it, because there are hundreds of wonderful episodes to choose from as well.